Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald DeSay, and we are streaming live over the airways of Blog Talk Radio via Facebook, Twitter, and Link. And today's date is November the 29th, 2017. And for our listening audience, you know, as we say, the slogan for our show, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. And this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity for solar installation initiatives, to provide employment for under and unemployed young African Americans. It's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Once again, that's www.positivechangepc.com. And you can click on our link, GoFundMe page, and it will provide you more detailed information about this exciting initiative that we are undertaking. We hope very, very shortly to be syndicating this show through the HBCU Radio Network. It's also brought to you by Skyton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management, and for further information, you can contact Dr. Gwendolyn Scott Bethay at scottcommunicationsnetwork.com. Well, as many of you are very, very aware that listen to our show on a weekly basis that we always try to bring you news that our community can definitely use in the Black community. And at this time and date and place in history, we definitely need some serious, serious communications that will bring information that will impact economically on the lives of our community, because we are facing some very, very dire, dire straits under the 45th administration's public policies and target budget cuts with this new tax bill. Now, our show today is entitled SDC 2.0 Working Group Goal Action and Targeted Green Jobs and Economy. Now, I had the privilege on Monday evening to attend at the Office of Planning for the Department of Energy and Environment in D.C. to attend this. Now, the District of Columbia is committed to an open and inclusive planning process for the update of the Sustainable D.C. Plan, which is called SD 2.0, Direct Input and Participation of Community, Industry, and Thought Leaders, as well as other stakeholders, is a critical component for updating the plan. Working groups will be made up of volunteer, private sector, and community leaders, subject matter experts, and district government staff. All working groups meeting will be public and will welcome participation and input. The working group purpose is to help increase a process that is technically sound, enjoys broad public and expert support, and as a result, we're looking to update the sustainable strategy for the district that will continue to guide community and local government efforts to their goals. The working group will help identify emerging best practices both locally and globally, which are popularized recommend action to address current and future environmental, social, and economic needs, to identify financial needs and resources, and the proposed plans and partnerships to ensure effective implementation and to be monitored over time. This is a whole lot of what we would call verbiage. To make a long story short, this is how public policy is derived. So I took it on myself to join that meeting because of what we do here on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact. Now, the targeted goals and the action description to grow and diversify D.C.'s business sectors for sustainable economic prosperity. Now, that's a long bunch of words. The bottom line is, where does the financing come from? Today's show, we were scheduled to have one of the executives from PEPCO on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Mr. Marcus Bill from PEPCO's corporate communications office located downtown Washington, D.C., indicated that their strategy and leading executive in that area could not or would not or is not available to be on this show today. So we want our listening audience to weigh in on what they think about this information that we're going to be providing over the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America by calling 646-668-2948. That call-in number, once again, is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in a what we call queue mode in our green room, and we want to bring you right on into the studios of Solar Now and the future, so that we'll be able to discuss some of these proposed plans. One of the issues that I constantly have with these meetings is that these meetings are basically scheduled from 6 to 8 in the afternoons during a work day. Now, what happens in the black from 6 to 8 p.m.? Number one, people get off work, and those who have jobs, who have children, they have to go get and pick up their kids from the babysitters. People have to go home. They have to prepare dinner. They have to make sure the children's homework is being looked after. In homes where you, in a lot of homes in our communities, we have a single family head of household. So these propose some very logistical issues, in my humble opinion, to get more engagement from the African American community. That is why we went to this particular planning group and workshop to make sure that we could weigh in and deal with some of the issues that we see facing our community. Now, as we know, if you look at the conditions of one of our communities, talking about diversity. Well, what does diversity mean? Does diversity mean displacement of African Americans from those communities that they have lived in over the years because of the lack of financing for housing and infrastructure and all of the other lack of support? I can speak to that firsthand because I've been banking with Wells Fargo for over 10 years, and we recently went to apply for a business loan. And, well, people will say, well, what does that have to do with this topic? Well, the direct correlation, because in order for me to be able to approve this format, it takes financing. It's very, very, very difficult. Very, very difficult when people are talking about Giving Tuesday. We happen to have, if you've been to our website at www.positivechangepc.com, and if you looked at our categories, you will see that we have a GoFundMe page asked for support to support this format. This format is set up and designed to give the show serve as a national platform, and it does, for Black American consumers who will be affected by federal, state, and municipal mandates requiring 20% of residential homeowners in the Washington, D.C. and Maryland to install solar systems by year 2032. It will serve and have interviews with representatives from the private, public, and nonprofit sector, informing our listeners about the benefits of installing solar panels on their homes. So we are faced with issues around this whole issue of how does Benjamin, who has a job which is paying them minimum wage, who may be living in a home that may have been passed down through the family, afford a PV solar installation system? We look at the amount of funding that has been put out through the various initiatives that have been put out by, specifically in the District of Columbia and in the market area here in Washington, D.C. And we find that those who are in the energy sector, who have the resources, those companies such as Petco, and have made commitments over recently with this new merger between Exxon and Petco in the spring of 2016, that they would provide certain initiatives and incentives for the communities here. We find that those who speak for these organizations, we have given invitations to Mr. Van Horney Jr., who is the chief strategist for Petco. They have declined our invitation. Mr. Bill has instructed me, who is in their corporate offices of communications, that we, in fact, would be able to get someone else to sit in and share about the commitments that were made by Petco on their recent merger, which is online, which talks about $1.7 million for workforce development training for Montgomery County, $1.2 million for workforce development for Prince George's County. And there are a number of other promises that were made by Petco. So we wanted to have them on our airways today to basically speak to those issues and where are they at this point in time and in fulfilling those commitments that were made. What agencies will be receiving this funds and who would be the contact persons to contact to find out when these programs will be implemented, such as the $31.5 million for energy efficient programs, including 20% for low income consumers, $14.4 million to establish a green energy fund to stimulate investment in sustainable solutions, $5 million worth of loans for development for renewable energy in Montgomery County, pilot microgrid projects for Montgomery and Prince George's counties, commitment to a good faith effort to hire at least 110 union workers in Maryland in the first 2 years after the merger, and a guaranteed $6.5 million for contributions for 10 years to nonprofits to serve the most vulnerable communities. Now, that speaks to Prince George's County, that speaks to PG County. But the fact of the matter is, African Americans, according to a study that was put out by the American Association of Blacks in Energy, AIB, in 2009, put out a study indicating that African Americans, we spent approximately $41 billion in energy. We had 1.1% of the jobs in energy and only received 0.8% of the wealth. We're talking about billions of dollars here. When you fast forward to 2000, 15, the Solar Foundation, which is has received millions, thousands of dollars for research and development to monitor the employment numbers in the solar and renewable energy industry. I reached out to the solar industry director, Mrs. Abigail Hopper, and given her an invitation to come on the airways of the show to talk about the lack of diversity and in hiring in the solar and renewable energy industry. Now, fast forward, what does this have to do getting back to the topic of what is going on in the district? Well, whether it be in the district, whether it be in Maryland or Virginia, it's a microcosm of what is going on here nationwide. Now, D.C.'s economic strategy indicates six industry areas to grow the economic diversification of smart cities, solutions, security technologies, data resources, analytic hospitality, innovations, professional services innovations, and the impact on the economy, which will include the bottom line of enterprises in nine core sectors. Now, these are target dates, 2032, to develop three times as many small district businesses, complete a review of the regulatory reform options to make it easier to do business in the district, formally recognize and meet independent social, environmental performance standards, use and anchor installations to create local markets and sustainable enterprises. All this sounds great. The question that I posed at this meeting on Wednesday night, we had numerous comments with people talking about how do we measure where we are, where we're going. People weighed in, and as you may know, from the African-American perspective, we were less out of approximate maybe 20 individuals. We had four African-Americans in the room, which when you began to look at the we actually had five, because recall is something that I'm pretty good with. And thinking back about this forum and looking at what was going on, that was the exact number. So we had about five individuals from our community. They're talking about the issues facing the African-American community, and the number one issue was community engagement and the dissemination of information to the African-American community, and how do we get this information out to our people. And as I began to share with individuals what the purpose of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative is in terms of trying to increase market share for African-American solar installation companies, as I early indicated, the Solar Foundation put out statistical data, which you can go to our website at www.positivechangepc.com and click on our news and events tab, and you can go to our March 2018 law in our database, and you will see an article entitled Black America, numbers don't lie. We only make up 6.6% of the solar industry. And as I was indicating a little earlier as I was talking, the fact of the matter is we only occupy 6.6 of that workforce currently, based on the latest data that was put out. Through the Solar Industry Association, SEIA, and GSA recently put out other data with DOE, Department of Energy, indicating that the solar and renewable energy industry has been the fastest growing industry since 2011 in job growth in the U.S. No other industry can touch it in terms of job growth. So we began to, and I began to share with them, if we're talking about these entrepreneurial opportunities, we first must have a trained workforce to be able to take advantage of these opportunities. How can you talk about these targeted goals when on these airways we did a show which we were scheduled to have the director of the North American Board of Practitioners talking about these issues on this show and how it impacts on what we do every day? So we know for a fact that we are having issues to do these things. But as we drill down on these issues, we still continue to have these issues. So as we look at what is going on in the solar and renewable energy industry, and we look at what is happening to the issues around the targeted goals of these working groups, which are forming public policy, and that is very, very, very key. Now, we looked at the fact that the North, according to the North American Board of Electric Practitioners, the District of Columbia, we know, has a population base based on the 2000 census data and moving forward to 2017 of over 500,000 individuals living inside the district. But you only have 5 individuals who are registered with the North American Board of Electric Practitioners who have their certification with them and they are registered. And you can find that out by going to their website. This is public information. 5 individuals who can go into a computer lab and supervise the training of this particular course, which will teach PV solar installation. And these classes have to have someone who is certified through them in order for these certifications and these classes to be viable. When you begin to look at what's being offered in our communities, I have information concerning a program that is offered in Northeast Washington, D.C., that I attempted to share with the group on the organization, which is located at 1125 Mill Street Northeast. And for the listening audience, the organization is called Four Walls Career and Technical Education Center. Their operation hours, Monday through Thursday, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. In the evening hours, Monday through Thursday, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Now, this is very, very important because if you are a D.C. resident and you want to earn a high school diploma, start a new trade, brush up on your skills, are ready to start your own construction business, then consider enrolling in one of the following core curriculums: HV, electrical wiring, stationary steam engineering, plumbing, or get your national external diploma through the NEPDP program. Now, you can go to their website at www.fourwallsscpec.org, or you can call 202-332-8022. Once again, that telephone number is 202-332-8022. And the Four Walls Career Technical Education Center, this program is F-R-E-E, free. It does not cost you a dime. It is funded through the Employment Services of the District of Columbia. And these were the issues that I brought to the table at the meeting. Who knows about this program? A young lady that was there at the meeting, she lives in the Trinidad community. And she said, I'm unemployed at the time, and I'm looking for to change career paths. So it's clear to me, all of these suggestions, all of this information that was being shared by folks who did not look like me and you, of European descent, stem around how do we make sure we get D.C. residence jobs. Well, there was a young lady there who happens to be teach at Ballou Senior High School who has been pushing, trying to get a core curriculum for renewable energy at Ballou Senior High School. And I indicated her, if she would go to our website at www.positivechangepc.com, she could scroll around and she would see a video on Green Technology Charter School out of Sacramento, California, which is run by an African-American gentleman, Mr. Simeon Gant, who has designed a curriculum that they have put in place in Sacramento, California, and it is working, training our young people to be energy advisors, how to become PV installers, how to become sales reps in the solar and renewable energy industry. I also brought up the fact, if we look at the lack of facility in the District of Columbia, D.C. businesses, residents, and home owners and institutions, colleges and universities, NGOs, you name it, if you're physically in the district, you pay $15 million more for energy year than anyone else because of the lack of facility. So how do we tie these goals to these proposed planning sections so there would be a fundable program looking at the proposed cutbacks facing not just the district, but the nation under 45's administration, which is targeted to cut DOE's budget by some 70%. Not DOEE, but DOE, the Department of Energy for the federal government. So we are really facing some serious challenges around this renewable and green energy economy. And it's very, very, very interesting when it came to the issue of, well, how you want to pay for this. First thing they talked about, well, we have very, very limited resources. Well, we know that the resources that you may have may be limited, but it doesn't mean that the district doesn't have the money in their coffers, because they have a renewable energy development fund, which Chairman Benny Ann Kane, Chair of the Public Service Commission, has come on the airways of this show, so now in the future with its economic impact on Black America, and spoke to this issue. I'm not at liberty to provide the names of these two universities, but my cooperative, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative that brings you this show, we're presently working on a proposal, an initiative to try to get a major solar farm built here in the market area, which could be a major player with providing more facility for the District of Columbia, and which would offset the high energy costs at these two local universities. The issue comes into play once again: how do we get the DC government to get involved with this? I have, back in July, I went to Mr. Eric Rogers with the Small Business Development Center to weigh in on the issue about the fact that the District of Columbia, through its public policy and these renewable energy standards, which are some of the highest in the country, which it has created one of the top solar markets for what we call use credits. Use credit are a cert, as we say, let's make it plain on this show, is the local utility provider, Pepco, through policy passed by the D.C. City Council, by law, to provide, right now, it's at 5% of all of the energy used in the district has to come from renewable sources. Well, when you look at that renewable portfolio, that will include biomass, hydrogenetics, wind turbine, and solar. Well, this ain't Kansas, and they sure not going to be damming down across the river to get any significant energy. So when we look at solar and we look at the lack of facility in the district, because the Pepco is fined by the D.C. government for not being able to purchase these use credits, and the use credit comes from the marketplace. And if you don't have enough residents, businesses, institutions, colleges and universities, and nonprofits who own physical buildings in the district, installing solar systems which can generate these credits, then Pepco has to pay. But the way the legislation was written, it allows Pepco to pass those fines back onto D.C. residents, businesses, and institutions. So if you live in the district or do business and have a business in the district, or your college or university is located in the district, you are paying $10 million more for energy. So this brings us back to how we create facility. Well, when you look at the situation as it exists, the district being landlocked by Maryland and Virginia and not having enough land to do a lot of build major solar installation utility farms, it becomes key for district search values to be able to be used or applied to develop these type of projects, whether they be located in Maryland, Virginia, if the institution owns the land that's physically in Maryland or Virginia. So in Maryland, if you are sitting or hiding on a rock, which our community was when this policy got passed in Annapolis, is only for renewable energy in their renewable portfolio standards. Solar energy only was 2%. Very little secret. Very few of our people understand that the University of Maryland Eastern Shore which is one of only two historically black colleges and universities that have a solar farm on its campus. In 2011, the former provost, Dr. Thomas, who hails from the U.S. Virgin Islands, got a solar farm built. It was a 17-acre farm. That solar farm generates about 15% of usage, reduces their energy by about 15%. When you calculate that into dollars, I don't know what those exact dollar figures, but I do know that they were able to lock in their utility bill for 25 years, so it does not increase. But something happened. When UMES was building this 17-acre farm, the farmers who are white, who own those large farms around UMES, was paying very, very close attention to what was going on. And they jumped in this industry, and built 100,000 acres of solar farms on white-owned farmland surrounding the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Now, most people don't even know that those solar farms are there. How does that relate to what we're talking about today? Well, Cape Canaveral, which was located in Florida, closed its launching facilities. They were moved to ITT Island off the eastern shore. That energy is being linked up and is being sold back to NASA to launch satellites. But with the link up, you can sell this energy in any marketplace. So how is that applicable to what is going on in the district? Well, the reduction of the 2% threshold in Maryland when the search values or use credits were first legislatively put in place, it had a value of up to $150 per kilowatt hour. It's now down to $6, trading for only $6 in the marketplace. You cannot, and developers cannot develop these solar farms with such a low value. So if the physical land where the institutions which may be physically chartered in the district would like to build solar farm to offset the energy facility issue in the district, you would have to apply the district's use credits values, and they're trading around $406 as we speak on the airways of this show, which is very significant. And this is the only way any kind of development can move. So the district has issues, and you have to get people to weigh in on these issues from the mayor's office, from the Office of Economic Development, in order to get Maryland to understand if we build this in Maryland, it's going to create job opportunities for people living in whatever specific area county that this would be done, and it would benefit the district because you can link that energy up and it can be used in the district to offset and provide PEMCO the ability to purchase those credits through that facility that's created in the other jurisdiction. Now, how does that tie back into what we're talking about? It ties back in when you begin to look at where do we begin to talk about training our young people and training our communities on the relationships, what is a renewable portfolio standards? Why is it important to be at these public meetings? Now, these are some of the targeted actions, and descriptions to grow, as I said, diversity in the D.C. business sector for sustainable economic prosperity. Well, who are they talking about? What businesses? Well, there's supposed to be legislation on the books in the district right now to create a green bank. Who will provide these loans? We have an electric vehicle revolution going on. Where there's badly needed charging infrastructure, you have to have electricians that have their certifications. The programs that are being offered, as I attempted to speak to some individuals over at the Four Seasons Technical Training Center, I wanted to know, had they contacted EV Revolution, Tesla, or ChargePoint, which are the three major players in the charging industry that will be installing these charging stations in residential and commercial locations all over the nation. How are we preparing our young people to take advantage of this growing industry that the surface has not even been scratched on it? Tesla is scheduled to roll out 500,000 electric vehicles. Well, I got news for you. I was listening to Charlie Rose's show several months back, and the CEO of BMW indicated, well, most people think that Tesla is the largest builder of electric vehicles. Well, they're not. We are. They have subsidiaries. One of their subsidiaries is the BMW, which the Chinese own. They are, in fact, racing to begin mass production of electric vehicles. BMW and Volvo has stated there will be no more combustion engines put into their automobiles after 2009, and by 2025, it is stated that all vehicles and trucks coming off the assembly lines will be electric vehicles. So what does this say? How does this engage our colleges and universities in looking at the research to develop the new technologies? When we're looking at the fact that the minerals, cobalt and lithium, are the two key components that make up the battery packs, which are the key to this new revolution. You cannot, in fact, have a cell phone without a lithium battery in it, have a computer without a lithium battery in it. How are we engaging our people? So these were some of the points that I shared at this meeting in terms of how do we start and where do we start. So we need to start with our kids in high school and our junior colleges. And this stuff needs to start in our middle schools. So that means there has to be commitments for getting the trained individuals with their certifications. We've got enough HBCUs turning out students every year with engineering degrees for this issue of not having enough individuals with their certifications registered with the North American Board of Practitioners to go to these computer labs to be oversee running these courses to get our people up to speed in this renewable energy and this green economy. And these were the points that I attempted to make. When people get to talking about products, this, that, and other, I don't have to speak to my community about the lack of investment that comes from the banking industry in this country as it relates to providing small African-American businesses capital. It's a known fact. I have to make this up. So we've been on our soapbox for quite some time now, beating this drum, and we're going to take a what you call pause for the cause, And we're going to be back on the...
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome back to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, where we have beat the drum. We have talked about what it is, where it's going, and what needs to be discussed. Now, as I was saying, we always have to take a pause for the cause to pay the bills. And as we were saying, at the beginning of the show, that this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar companies and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for the African-American installation companies. To address the economic effects of high energy costs that are HBCUs, to utilize American-owned black farmlands and HBCU campuses, to develop capacity for solar installation initiatives, to bring down the number of unemployment and underemployment in the African-American community locally and nationally. The Black Sports Radio Foundation, BSLF HBC Radio's talk show initiative, which you can go to our website at positivechangepc.com, click on our GoFundMe page, and you'll find information there concerning this initiative. And please, while you're there, if something called a contribution, we can use it. Make no mistake about it. We don't spend a lot of time on that because we know people don't like to be beat over the head for information, because everybody wants something free. But guess what? Information ain't free. So when you got to beg your people to give them information that they can use, it's not like you're going to get the housewives of Atlanta here. No, we're not going to deal with that. Everybody has their own taste, so I won't call it how I see it, but it is what it is. Now, we're also brought to you by Scott Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional newspaper editing, online and traditional speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management. And you can contact Dr. Gwendolyn Scott Buffay at scottcommunicationsnetwork.com. Now that we've taken care of that issue of sort of paying the bills, and we're drilling down on where do we go from here and what is this thing all about, well, there's some upcoming meetings at DOEE. If you will go to their website, you will find the information that they will be hosting another meeting on the same issues, and this will be around the education component, at 810 First Street Northeast on December 18th, 2017. That address, once again, is 810 First Street Northeast, December 18th, 2017, from 6 to 8 p.m. And there's another meeting on December the 12th, 2017, but I did not get all the details on that. They did not have the location for that at that time. Now, getting back to the topic of DC 2.0, working groups and goals, actions, target, green jobs, and the economy, we're looking at to expand the number of range of jobs available in the district residents to ensure access to new jobs through appropriate skill training. I touched on that already. Target by 232 to cut city employment by 50%. Secondary targets increase 5 times the number of jobs, providing green jobs and services, education from equity and diversity section to ensure that school-aged children in the district are educated in sustainability. By 2032, teach at least 50% of the children in the district about sustainability concepts. Well, guess what? That won't get it. We need to be engaged and raising pure hell about these issues right now. Why is the unemployment still so high in the black community? Well, why is our people, when you say the Sunshine Identity Initiative, other than my show, I don't know nobody that talks about it. If you go to our website at www.pcpositivechange.com, you can click on the video link and you can hear President, the 44th President, Barack Hussein Obama, talking about the Sunshine Identity Initiative, which was the biggest thing that his administration did. It was not the Affordable Care Act. It sounds like my voice has gone up. It has. It is completely disturbing to me that this energy industry, which is a $1 trillion industry, solar energy in 2016, according to a report put out by SEIA, generated $200 billion for the U.S. economy and $1.4 trillion worldwide. This industry is growing at leaps and bounds. I'm going to sort of switch gears because I want to get this information out before we go. The Department of Environment, the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, has put out grants, which you can find through Funding Alert, on announcing funds to support community-based organizations in their efforts to collaborate partners and local stakeholders and businesses. Okay? And there is grant money available right now. You can get that information by going to our website, clicking on our news and events tab. There are, we have two set of funding information that is there, which is being made available right as we speak. So we know for a fact that these issues are what they are, and we need to be doing what we need to do. As we said, we don't talk it, we walk it. So we're going to be closing our show in just a few minutes. But I want our listening audience to go to our website and to go and click on our news and events tab. And while you're there, scroll down and look at the rich data bank on information that will educate you and get you up to speed on this renewable energy industry. I think and I know that we do an outstanding job with our research. We keep it up to date. And our students at our HBCUs and our high schools need to be logging on to this website, getting this information, so they will know what areas of study that they need to be looking at if they want to get engaged in this renewable energy industry. That is what it is. It's a billion-dollar growth industry. And as a dear friend of mine, Herb Bell always says, they, when it comes to black folks, we always day late and the dollar short. So we're trying to sort of get our folks out in front of the eight ball on this one. So if you listen to this show, I hope that we brought you today on the airwaves of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact, some news that you can definitely use. So,
life is a song worth singing.
I don't
sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.